This is your teacher, Dingley May, addressing you with his heart. Let us feel the spirit of wisdom embracing us together. I shall now deal with your documentary lesson number 21. Peace be unto you. And my beloved, your lesson 21 is, in my opinion, one of the most important so far, and I am going to ask us to place ourselves in that reverential attitude of mind which will enable us, each for himself and herself, to absorb to the fullest capacity that which we may learn from this lesson. Therefore, I suggest that you have your eyes closed as together we pray, we meditate. First, on my own thought, I do utterly forsake my own thought, born of myself or of the will of man. I rest in the universal thought of life itself. My own feeling, I do utterly forsake every feeling born of my own flesh and my own will. I realize only the inflowing of the eternal spirit and know my real self, re-elected in the personality of me as of the One. My own action, I do utterly forsake every desire of my own to action. I seek only to know and feel the will of the Lord of the Eternal within me, to do that which my Holy Spirit Self expresses. My own memory, I do utterly forsake and renounce all effort of my own to create or remember. The Creator is within me, bringing me wisdom, a perfect divine memory, perfect power to perfectly create in reflection the truth, the light. My own imagination, I realize through divine memory, imagination, and inspiration only Thee, the One Eternal, Everlasting, Never-Changing, Self-Manifesting Source of all, the beginning and the end, the no beginning and no end, that the Father. We give thanks. Now, my beloved, I am now to assume that you can say with absolute confidence that you have learned the way to live. So we will speak a little about right living and right effort, which are the fifth and sixth steps in the Noble Eightfold Pathway of Enlightenment. When we know the way to live, then we may indulge in right effort. And the more effort we put into right living, the more of life do we get to know. Now there is an inner meaning to these words, so ponder them well. No matter how much effort we put into life, if we do not know what right living is, we merely make the confusion of life worse confounded. Right living is the non-soiling of the immortal jewel, so that all that we do and say and think and feel, all that we are, is directed with the immortal stream of life and not against it. Right effort means that the candidate, wise and enlightened, understands his deed and his aim, knows that he is living in the law. Whatever the Creator is, I am, and knows that there is no need for consideration of the course of his life, any more than a man in perfect health needs to consider his heartbeat. Now, so much, of course, could be written about right living and right effort, but we will pass on. I repeat, my beloved, that you can now say with absolute confidence that you can, by concentrated thought and divinely directed feeling, ionize the entire body by concentration upon the I am, the me of me. Now, when we sit in meditation upon the absolute, the creative spirit, we become in correspondence with it. Hence, every molecule in our bodies, each the abode of thought, in no matter how slight a degree, is being brought, so to speak, into perfect relation and coordination with the stream of life within us. Now, to make this practical, what we have to do is to cultivate the habit of always associating ourselves in our thought with health. By so doing, we are consciously putting ourselves upon the side of the laws of life instead of opposing them. Good health is then inevitable. It is not a matter of chance or what is called luck. It is as certain as if we were operating the laws of electricity and using the current for our work. Now this, my beloved, is actually what we are doing. Though it may be that at our present juncture in the science of mental physics, you may not be exactly aware of how you are exactly doing it. But this is actually what is happening all the time. Now, I wish to keep the personal pronoun out of your lessons as far as possible, but it may be of some inspiration to you if I state here that there need be no fear about perfect health being the prize for our work. I have personally brought myself back through these methods from a state of persistent ill health. And my promise to you is this: if you faithfully practice your breathings and you go regularly and sincerely into meditation, reverently and regularly, every day, there is only one result that can possibly come to you. It may come more quickly to some than to others, but it is inevitable, and it is a great reward. All the same, we must obey the laws. You see, the average person, however, thinks bad health. He talks ill health on all possible occasions. Hope people like to talk about their operations, their colds, their aches, their pains. Now then, how can such people possibly acquire perfect health? We become what we say. We become what we think. Such people are in correspondence with negative conditions, and consequently, the negative conditions are worked out as they must be worked out in their lives. But remember, my beloved, the laws of life will much more readily work in our favor than against us. And so, it is simply our own fault if we reap disease of body and mind instead of glorious, vibrating health, as all students of mental physics are or should be meditating upon. We should remember the vital importance of health in our personal studies and the objects of each lesson in mental physics is, among other things, to prolong life indefinitely. But we cannot do this unless we have good health. Just as you were instructed to think of health, to form the habit of thinking health, so you are to have the habit of thinking yourself young. What I mean is that no matter what you are doing, no matter where you may be, think health, think youth. You're walking down the street? Well, raise the vibration of your mind. Let that force of thought flood your whole body. I am health. I am health. I am young. I am youth. And, my beloved, there is no untruth about this. It is true. You are young, and consequently should be healthy. From what you have learned, you have abundant evidence that you are young. Now, should it be that you do not believe this absolutely, go back over your previous lessons, revise them, think about what you read. Then, when you have the firm conviction that you are young, proceed happily with the next lesson. When you know for a fact that you are not more than a few years old at most, that in the essential substance of the body you are probably not more than a year old, you cannot continue to say and to think that you are old. Should you do so, you lie. Well, we all are familiar with the punishment that comes to the liar. No. As a man thinketh, so is he. Now think again. Let us get this quite clear in our minds. When you say that you are old, it is, of course, because you are conscious of age. But how can you be conscious of age when you know for a fact that you are only a few months of age? You cannot. You can only be conscious of youth. Therefore, you are solemnly urged, even if you feel this to be reiteration to the point of irritability, never think of yourself as aged or aging. And as we are what we think, as we become what we say, It is just as easy to form the habit of thinking yourself young. Much easier, in fact, because it is the truth, than to think of yourself as aged, which is false. And here is the beautiful truth of all. When this habit becomes part of your consciousness, as it will, you cannot express age. For, as we have seen, the consciousness can only express that which you are conscious of. Remember the magnet.